Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt as always. Today is Wednesday, November 23rd. We usually are recording on Tuesdays, the day the college football rankings come out. I had some scheduling conflicts. I wanted to get this to you today, be released Thanksgiving morning. I don't know if Thanksgiving is a big podcast day or not, but the rankings aren't changing till next Tuesday. There's some big football games, though, Thanksgiving and Black Friday. North Carolina plays NC State. The Egg Bowl is that weekend, and you see the Lane Kiffin madness, obviously.
Of course.
He has the best Twitter. When he printed, like, that thing, basically copying what that reporter said, I like, died laughing. I thought it was hilarious. I was a big, big Lane Kiffin fan. But, yeah. So, a lot going on in college football, a lot going on in the World Cup. That's going to be what we're talking about today.
Yeah. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the World Cup real quick. Then we'll go to football because most of it's football stuff. But today we're about halfway through the first round of group play. United States drew Wales. England and also the other group destroyed Iran. I think the big games are Japan losing to Germany and Saudi Arabia beating Argentina is what I would say are like the two surprises.
Yes, Japan beating Germany.
Oh, did I say lose?
Yes, and I'm very excited about these because I said in the last podcast, technically I didn't say that Japan was going to beat Germany. Technically I said Japan would advance out of the group and Germany would not, but still I feel like I deserve some credit for that. And then the other thing is I said that I thought Argentina was going to lose very early. I did not think it was going to be to Saudi Arabia. Those are the two surprises, except really the Japan one I'm not surprised with. I think that talking about Japan in the same way as Saudi Arabia is kind of disrespectful to the year and the season that Japan has been having. England, USA is going to be a lot of fun. Senegal, Netherlands group, that's going to be really, really interesting. So there's some very interesting, the points are shaking out in very interesting ways.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. And I think the last games in the first group play wrap up, I think tomorrow. Yeah, because second round starts. So should be exciting, a lot of good stuff there. Let's get to some college football stuff, Matt. So two things. Obviously, we're going to talk about the rankings and go through that. Also, finally got my Florida article up. Took a little longer than I was hoping to. But we're going to talk about that as well. Went to the Florida-Utah game to start the year. First time at a live SEC game. Obviously, been to the South and spent a lot of time at SEC schools, but hadn't been able to go to a game. Do you want to start with the rankings or the article?
Let's talk about the article. I think that there's some interesting stuff in there. So
perfect. Now, Florida is not in the rankings, but awesome atmosphere. Matt, you read it. I would just ask, I guess, what were your thoughts as far as like reading it? And also, I talked through a lot of writing it with you on the Florida article.
I think sort of the emphasis of the article was just how different the SEC is than, what we're used to experiencing in Utah. As great as I think BYU football games have a really, really great atmosphere. I really enjoy going there. Utah also has an incredibly passionate fan base. I think it's a lifestyle down there more than it is up here. And I think you can really see that.
It was so loud, unbelievably loud. And also I've been, all over the country. I've never been in an SEC game before. I wasn't even wearing red. I was just wearing like a black t-shirt and I was getting yelled at. Like they were not in a bad way, but they were like the meanest fans I've ever dealt with in person.
Yeah,
for sure. They were very into it, especially the college students. It was a good time though. It was really cool. Obviously, when we were in junior high or high school, that's when Tim Tebow was playing in Florida. So it was really cool seeing like all the Tebow Heisman stuff. They also had a thing in the stadium about the first two black football players for Florida, which I was like, especially at SEC schools, reading about the integration and learning about that is really interesting. So I talk a little bit about that in there. I think the biggest thing I like learned is Steve Spurrier is a big deal. Like when we were growing up, Spurrier was a head coach at South Carolina. And I was like, oh, he just coaches South Carolina. He's fine. He won the Heisman as a coach and Heisman as a player, national championship as a coach. Only person to ever do that. Pretty unbelievable.
That is unique. It's weird that you don't see more quarterbacks having success at coach. Like you would think that would happen more.
Yeah, but yeah, Spurrier's the guy and dominated the Heisman the year he did end up winning it. Florida's only had 3 Heismans and only 3 national champions, which is kind of interesting. But the game, obviously, Florida won the Utah game. Loudest stadium, including like Notre Dame, Washington, obviously Utah, BYU. No one thinks Arizona schools are going to be loudest, so that's not fair. But yeah, any stadium in between, by far the loudest stadium. Super fun atmosphere. The article's on mjdoubletake.com. I tweeted it out on all the social stuff and Instagram and Twitter and everything like that, at mjdoubletake. Tom Petty's from Gainesville is another thing I learned.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that.
Much more educational trip than I thought it was going to be. But yeah, I did, despite how long it took, I did enjoy writing it. So, again, mjdoubletake.com. If you're interested in football, SEC, anything like that, I'm biased, but I think it's worth just kind of reading about. I enjoy going to different places. Florida, unfortunately, is not in the college football rankings, though.
No, which is – well, that was an interesting about the game, too. It felt like it was going to be a very big deal. I think we kind of thought that – you know, I don't know if people thought that Florida was going to end up being in the rankings, but I thought that people thought Utah was going to end up being a lot higher this year than they have ended up.
Well, they were number 7 at the time. Like, they still opened the preseason number 7. And a significant, not the majority, but I would say a significant portion of people thought Utah were, like, had them in the playoff or projected them in the playoff. Now it looks like Utah's not even going to go to the Pac-12 championship. Probably going to be Oregon and USC based on how things go Saturday for those schools. But yeah, if Utah wins that game, I think it is a different season for them. So, kind of a bummer. Also, Anthony Richardson, that was like by far his best game. Like, yes. When you're looking at the NFL, if he can do that, you're all on board. But he has other games where just like, what are you doing? But he's super talented kid. Florida's huge. Like, their safeties were massive. Everyone. But like, that's what stood out to me, honestly, the most was like just how big, especially the secondary, was for Florida. Like the SEC recruiting is just different level.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what's interesting about how Utah's been able to do so well. And you've talked about this on the pod before, is that Utah is not getting top level recruits. Utah's getting people that don't want to go to USC. And I think a big reason that they're not going to USC is because of their size. And so it's impressive seeing how Utah has, you know, found guys who are undersized or not quite as fast or whatever it might be, and work with them to develop and become really, really skilled players that can be successful at the NFL. So I can see why that would be interesting, going to Florida and being like, oh, this is what a 5-star recruit looks like.
Yeah, because Florida can just go grab guys. Like, obviously, Florida is probably the best high school football state in the country in terms of recruits. And Utah, they get guys from, like, Oklahoma, Kansas, like, literally a lot of Florida kids as well. But, like, all over the place, and they just look for, like, traits and develop them. Utah, Iowa does a really good job of this as well, but, like, always leads the country in, like, NFL draft versus, like, expectations over, like, recruiting rankings. Mm-hmm. Do you know, like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, above average expectations. Because they know what they're looking for, and it's what made it, because they aren't going to out-recruit Florida or USC or Oregon, but they've still been successful in that conference. And I think it'd be interesting. I don't know how well it'd work if Kyle Whittingham went to one of those schools, just because, like, coaching a 5-star kid is different than coaching a 3-star kid.
Right. Yeah.
So I think obviously Utah wants 5-star kids. They've got Clark Phillips is going to go to the NFL as a 4-star, probably late first rounder. It'd be interesting though to see, but I think he's found his role in Utah. He's been there, I think, second longest tenured coach in college football. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
They're at 14. They lost to Oregon. honestly, they should have won that game. Their quarterback, Utah's quarterback, Cam Rising, kind of blew it. Bo Nix played really well, though, hobbled. Oregon's quarterback, Utah, should have won that game. But they dropped to 14. Oregon's at 9. USC, we're kind of all over the place, but USC's at 6. And I think there's 6 teams that can make it. And it's USC at 6, LSU at 5, TCU 4, Michigan 3, Ohio State 2, Georgia 1. Those are the 6 I think that can make it, barring like just nothing making sense. Like Alabama, I think, is out unless everybody loses. Clemson, I think, is out. Oregon's out. Tennessee's out after the shocking loss to South Carolina. So we're kind of down to those 6 teams. And realistically, unless LSU beats Georgia, I don't think is going to happen, we're down to 5 teams.
Right, yeah. I think, you know, TCU is on that tightrope. We've kind of talked about this, but it feels like as soon as they lose one game, even if it's a Big 12 championship, they're going to be out. I think it would require USC losing the Pac-12 championship, LSU not being able to beat Georgia. Honestly, I think even Alabama and Clemson would probably have to lose in their final games for TCU to get in with any loss.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, for TCU to get in, like, LSU definitely has to lose. If LSU and USC lose and TCU loses this week but wins the Big 12 championship, I think they would still get in. I think let's just assume TCU wins out, Georgia beats LSU, USC wins out. Let's say Ohio State wins, but really this is interchangeable. But Ohio State wins the Big 10 championship, beats Michigan. I think Michigan would beat USC if they played, but those would be like the last 2 spots. Would you take a USC over Michigan, or would you take Michigan over USC? USC would be 12-1 conference champion in our scenario. Michigan would be 11-1. Only loss would be the number 2 team in the country on the road.
Well, I, Matt Cowden, would take USC because I feel like winning your conference should mean something. I kind of feel like Michigan, in a sense, sort of already had their chance. I feel like them and Ohio State, that's kind of the first round of the playoff. The committee, I think, would pick Michigan.
I would pick Michigan. I think the committee would pick USC.
Interesting.
Because I think I think it should just be the 4 best teams. Doesn't matter what conference you're from. Doesn't, like, none of that stuff. I think, though, they would try to get USC and to get a little bit of diversity, because there's a world where if LSU beats Georgia, TCU loses, it's Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and LSU, 2 SEC teams, 2 Big Ten teams. I don't think they want that. I think they want to try to switch it up a little bit. So I think I would pick Michigan, but the committee would pick TCU, or excuse me, USC in that scenario. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. Realistically, I think Michigan has a good shot to beat Ohio State Saturday. I do think Notre Dame's not good. They're ranked 15th. I'm not sure any team has 2 worse losses than Notre Dame, certainly in the top 25. Notre Dame's losses are to Marshall and to Stanford. The 3rd loss is Ohio State, which we can forgive them for. But Stanford's like one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country, and Marshall's one of the worst Group of 5 teams in the country. Not, maybe that's harsh. They're not a good Group of 5 team.
Yeah, they've really got to be kicking themselves for those 2 losses, because if their only loss is to Ohio State, they're probably ranked 5th right now and ready to jump in over TCU as soon as TCU loses.
Yeah, if Notre Dame had only lost to Ohio State, because they beat North Carolina, they dominated Clemson, who are the top 2 teams in the ACC. They'd have a legitimate argument. That USC Notre Dame game this Saturday could be for a playoff spot.
Right.
But I don't know how they lost. Stanford, I love Stanford. They are so bad. It's so, they're just not built for the transfer portal era, because it's like so hard to get into Stanford. They make you do a lot of extra stuff, like application wise and things like that. Also, you just have to be smart, like really smart. And every other school just doesn't have those requirements. So transfer portal area, Stanford's kind of dead and gone, if we're being realistic, which is a bummer, because Dave Shaw is one of the best coaches, I think, in the country. They have a really good program. They were one of the best programs in the country for a really long time, but just not going to line up with how Stanford runs its university, which is why it's Stanford, you know?
Yeah.
One thing to look at is the American standings. Look at which group of five teams going to get in. So right now in the conference, Cincinnati and Tulane each have one loss. UCF has two losses, but has beaten Cincinnati. Let's see who they play, because I think there's some more games between each other. Tulane and Cincinnati played this week. So I believe the winner of that game would play UCF in the conference championship, which would lead to a spot in, I don't remember what bowl game the group of five teams going to this year.
Yeah.
I think Tulane's the worst out of those three. UCF lost this weekend, which was kind of weird. I think Cincinnati's probably the best, but any of those three teams are good. Liberty bummed me out. I went on a big rant about them. Then they lost like 2 weeks in a row, one to Virginia Tech. I feel like there's not too much else to talk about, honestly. Like, we could try to, like, North Carolina lost to Georgia Tech. So, like, there's a lot of important things. Like, North Carolina and Clemson, that's determining the conference championship. That's a big deal. Kansas State, it's looking like, is going to play TCU in the Big 12 championship. They're playing for a spot in the New Year's Six Bowl, which is significant. Penn State could go the whole season, and their only losses are to Ohio State, Michigan. Have a really good bowl, get into a New Year's Six Bowl as well. Hendon Hooker, Tennessee's quarterback, is injured, so bummer for them. They're having such a good season.
Well, one question I have that I think is interesting is Clemson only has one loss, and I feel like any other year that would have them up in fifth or sixth. Is it because they've had a couple of bad years and they maybe started the ranking so low that they've just that you and the committee seem to have just kind of ruled them out of the playoff picture?
I just don't think they're very good. Like, they got hammered by Notre Dame, who I've been on record as not thinking very good. DJ Uiagalelei has just not been as good this year. They've kind of flip-flopped a little bit with him and Clay Klubnik, the freshman quarterback from Texas. State of Texas, not University of Texas. Defensive line's really good, but other than that, they just like aren't the same Clemson. I think part of it is losing Brent Venables, defensive coordinator, Tony Elliott, the offensive coordinator, went to UFC, Jeff Scott went to USF, Southern Florida a couple years ago. A lot of that infrastructure that they had and that Dabo built left, and they're still a good team, but it's not like when they had Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson. Like, I wouldn't feel confident picking them to beat, even honestly, Oregon. Like, in my rankings, I might have put them ahead of Oregon just because I felt like I had to, because Oregon has two losses, including a pummeling by Georgia. But let's see where I had them. In my rankings, I had Clemson, a lot of Argentina stuff being fun. I had Clemson 7, Oregon 9, which is actually what the committee had, Bama 8. So I would pick probably Oregon in a game, though. Like, I feel like I probably had to put Clemson ahead of them, but what do you think? Do you think Oregon would beat Clemson?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I think Oregon are great. Like, I think they're probably, you know, not in that playoff picture really like Clemson either. So I think they're probably better than Clemson, but I feel like that's probably saying more than about Clemson than Oregon. I just think it's like, you know, if we're looking at them being 10-1, I think it is shocking to see them ranked that low as a 10-1 team.
Yeah, you would think like Clemson, if you're paying attention in like 2017, 2020, whatever, that them being 10-1, they're like an automatic playoff spot, basically.
Right.
Let's close on the three teams I have ranked that they don't, vice versa. So they have Notre Dame, UCF, and Louisville ranked, where I do not. I think Purdue should be ranked. I think Mississippi State should be ranked, and I think Coastal should be ranked. Louisville is, out of those three that they have ranked, I think the best squad, then UCF, then Notre Dame. I still get why Notre Dame's 15. Like, I still think you can forget losing to Marshall, yeah, is all.
I don't know. I mean, people love Notre Dame.
I guess. I don't know. Bums. And I think Notre Dame's awesome. That was probably the funnest game I've ever been to, but, you know, we got to I see it. But yeah, there honestly just wasn't a lot that happened with their rankings. I mean, we could try to talk about stuff just for the sake of it, but a lot of it's just gonna come down to this weekend.
Yeah, this rivalry week is a really, really big one. Obviously, looking forward to that Ohio State Michigan game, but you know, maybe this is the week that TCU drops a game. You know, obviously USC Notre Dame, that's a really big deal. Well, let me ask you, besides those two, Ohio State and Michigan, and then USC and Notre Dame, what are some of these rivalry games you think could impact, maybe not even the playoff picture, but just the New Year's Six picture?
Well, Oregon could lose to Oregon State very easily. Let's just pull up the slate of games here. Like, Oregon State's a really good team. Committee had them, I think, ranked 21st. Let's see. Florida State. If Florida State wins, they're a 9-3 team who beat LSU, so they could sneak their way in. Like Louisville, Kentucky, that's not going to affect the. That could affect maybe who's in the top 25. Honestly, it's not. Like, the games we talked about are really good. Notre Dame, USC is a big one. Kansas, Kansas State is interesting just because there's their best team Kansas has had in maybe ever. Or since the Orange Bowl, at least. Kansas State's playing for sure in the Big 12 championship. But the big one, Georgia Tech is playing Georgia, so that's not super interesting. South Carolina just beat Tennessee. As much as we just talked about how Clemson isn't very good, I don't think they're going to beat Clemson. I think the big one is Oregon State, honestly. That's a very realistic. I think Oregon will win still because I do think Oregon's a really quality team. But that, Tulane, Cincinnati, and obviously Michigan, Ohio State, USC, UCLA, those are the four games where it's like we need to watch what happens, and that are going to have the base outcome of everything.
Yeah.
Realistically, I think the playoff's going to be Georgia, the Big Ten winner. I do think TCU is going to win out at this point, which I was a doubter until last week because I thought Baylor was where they'd lose. TCU and USC. I think it should be Michigan or Ohio State. I think they're better than USC, but I think those will be the four. All right, we're going to wrap up with two things, talk about college football. First thing is keeping up with the Wilson segment, big one. Zach Wilson got benched, as much as keeping up with the Wilsons as you can do. You saw the interview where the reporter was like, do you feel like you let your defense down? And he was like, no. You saw that?
Uh-huh.
It's word on the street is Zach Wilson has beef with that reporter. So that answer was more in response to like him not liking the reporter than not taking accountability, which is kind of lame. And it just like blown up and kind of snowballed from there. Bad answer, but still kind of lame that that's seems to what snowballed the benching decision.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Feel bad for Zach, especially because I don't really like, I know that Joe Flacco's throwing more touchdowns, but like, I don't know. Do they really feel like they're going to, you know, go through the playoffs with Joe Flacco at this point? I mean, maybe they don't feel like they're going to do with Zach Wilson, but at least you can see what Zach Wilson is going to do in a playoff situation, because they're probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe he just needs a couple weeks to kind of like decompress because they were bad in that New England game. It was hard to watch. I know the weather played a big part of that. He's very talented, but he's got to clean up some like footwork stuff, just like the little things. He has tried. The BYU is able to hit a home run every play, and you just can't do that in the NFL. But hopefully he figures it out. Hopefully for the Jets they figure it out, because they've been one quarterback away for like a couple years at least, and they do have a really good roster. But yeah, so shout out to Zach. Hopefully he gets the spot back. That's keeping up with the Wilson. Should we do the top five?
Let's do the top five.
So here's the top five, Matt. Best airports to fly into.
Okay.
And this is purely subjective based on my rankings. Could be the actual city, could be like the view. A lot of it is going to be the view. A lot of it's like the actual airport.
Yeah.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Portland, Oregon.
Interesting.
You fly right over the river. I think it's a really nice airport. Lot of options there. But it's honestly like super pretty flying in the river. So Portland's number one. Two's Boston.
Okay.
Airport's like right on the water. You get a cool view of the city. Again, so most of this is going to be views where you're flying into.
Sure.
So Boston's number two. Three, I'm going to say San Francisco. Same thing. The airport's like literally right on the water. This is sounding repetitive, I know. Portland gets the nod over these because it's an actual nice, like super nice airport, like big spaces. But San Francisco's three, right on the water. It's close-ish to where Candlestick was, so a little nostalgic for me. Mm-hmm. Number four is Salt Lake City. Part of it is because I'm biased and I'm from there, but I love flying in. You see the mountains. I can like point out like where BYU is, where I went to high school. So it's fun seeing it from that angle. The mountains are super pretty flying in. So Salt Lake City is number four.
Good.
Now, number five could have gone a lot of different ways. Still deciding, actually. But I'm going to say number five is Washington, D.C.
Is there a river over there?
There actually is. Yeah. I was thinking more of like the Pentagon and like that stuff you can see, which is really cool.
Right.
But it does. There is a river. I think it's the Potomac. Okay. I probably sound like an idiot for people from there, but yeah, Potomac River. It's just cool. Like flying out and seeing like, I pictured like the Pentagon. I think you can see like the White House and like the Washington Monument and stuff like that.
Yes.
So it's really cool to see New York. You're like, you can see buildings where you're like too far away. So that's why New York didn't make it on the list. LAX is just such a pain in the butt as far as like the actual airport. That's why that didn't make it on the list. I was going to pick Seattle, but I think it's just like fine.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It's a decent airport. It's fine. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. I do remember Miami being nice, but I haven't been there in a while. So
right.
Didn't want to count that. Yes. So that's top five. Portland, Boston, San Francisco, Salt Lake, Washington, D.C. Top five airports to fly into in the United States. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate all the reviews, 5 stars. Feel free to keep dropping those. Leave a comment if you have not yet. And we'll talk to you guys next week.